Chapter 11. The Doctor Saves Everyone Except Himself. On the stage in the library of Lexington Bank, the Chancellor of the Exchequer was starting his speech.
"I'm very happy," the Chancellor said, "to be here today at Lexington Bank."
In front of the stage, there were lots of chairs filled with people from the bank. Television cameras were there too, to broadcast the speech live all over the world. Andrew and Samira were sitting on chairs at the front of the room near the stage. Amy, the doctor, and Nadia stood at the back of the room next to the television cameras, safe under the orange light of Nadia's watch. It was strange, but they could not see Vanessa or any Mr. Symington's or Mr. Blenkinsop's anywhere. Amy suddenly ran towards the stage. The Chancellor stopped speaking when Amy jumped in front of him. The doctor and Nadia followed close behind Amy and waited by the side of the stage.
"Aliens are here and they're controlling everything," shouted Amy. "They're giving everybody watches like these."
She held up her arm to show the watch to the cameras. Two tall men in black suits quietly helped the Chancellor off the stage and out of the library. Amy realised that she must sound crazy, so she pulled 10-year-old Nadia onto the stage.
"Nadia, tell them what happened to you," said Amy.
Nadia looked straight into the cameras. She held up her red arm, with the sparks still flying out of the watch.
6 months ago," she said, "I was 40 years old, but I was stupid. I borrowed time using this watch. Look at me now."
She shook her wrist angrily. But shaking the broken watch was not a good idea. It made some more sparks and a loud sound, and then its face went black. Nadia stared at it in shock. The orange line around the doctor, Amy and Nadia disappeared. Suddenly, the room was full of Mr. Symington's and Mr. Blenkinsop's, who had travelled back in time to appear there. The Mr. Symington's and Mr. Blenkinsop's could all see Amy, Nadia and the doctor now. At that moment, Samira jumped onto the stage and pressed some buttons on her watch to pay back her time. In one terrible moment, the watch took 35 years of her life. She could immediately feel the 1,000 different pains of being old, but she kept looking at the camera.
"This is what the aliens have done to me," she said.
At the same time, the Mr. Symington's and Mr. Blenkinsop's all began to run towards Amy with shark's faces. She took her camera and tried to catch some of them inside time bubbles, but more and more of them were coming. Andrew and Samira started fighting the shark men too. They threw chairs and television cameras at them. Most of the other people in the bank were not fighting. They were running out of the library. Samira was not very strong now, but she still threw a chair at a Mr. Symington. She hit him in the mouth, and immediately all the other Mr. Symingtons in the room had blood on their mouths. Andrew threw a chair, but one of the Mr. Blenkinsops caught it and threw it back. The sharks seemed to know what would happen before it happened.
"They're remembering how we are fighting," shouted the doctor. "Look at those ones at the side of the room."
He pointed to a Mr. Symington and a Mr. Blenkinsop standing at the side of the library without any blood on their faces.
"That's the first Mr. Symington and Mr. Blenkinsop. When they see something, all the others remember it. Catch those two with your camera, Amy.
Amy turned the camera towards them, but it had a message on it. Only one lucky holiday moment left. Choose carefully.
What if we need this last bubble later? She asked herself.
The shark men knew that she would stop and think because they had already seen her do it. Three Mr. Blenkinsops quickly jumped forward and pushed Amy to the ground. Amy screamed and kicked as a Mr. Blenkinsop opened its mouth wide to bite her.
No! Shouted the doctor.
She agreed to the terms and conditions, said Mr. Symington.
He held Amy's wrist and pressed buttons on her watch. The message said, borrowed time total, 21 years, 1 month, 16 days. It had gone up since the last time she had looked at it.
Take me instead, said the doctor. Your boss won't be interested in normal people like Amy anymore when you tell her that I know the time market.
Suddenly, all the fighting stopped and all the Mr. Symingtons and Mr. Blenkinsops were still and silent. And then the lift doors opened and Vanessa Lang Randall walked out.
You can let Amy go now, said the doctor gently. You and I can talk about your business instead.
Oh, doctor, said Vanessa, you don't understand anything.
You can't win, Vanessa, shouted Samira. Everyone in the world has seen me get older. Everyone knows what you're doing, and no one will borrow any more time from you.
Vanessa shook her head.
Nobody outside this bank saw anything, she said. We heard about your plans and we stopped the live broadcast. You can't stop me like that. We will always be able to time travel and stay one step ahead of you.
Samira looked like she wanted to cry.
So, doctor, Vanessa smiled. What were you saying to my friends here about the time market?
They're not really your friends, said the doctor. You're all the same alien. Are you the earliest one?
Vanessa smiled. The Mr. Symingtons and Mr. Blenkinsops smiled too.
Oh, you're so, so clever, she said. I wonder how you knew. I must remember to go back in time and stop you from discovering our secret. Yes, I'm the first. I'm like a tree, and my sharks are the branches. Aren't they lovely?
That's a nice sculpture,
said the doctor instead, staring at the glass shape in the atrium.
I think maybe I'm beginning to understand. Not many people have paid you back the time they owe you yet, have they? You haven't actually got much time at all, not really.
At that moment, a Mr. Blenkinsop pulled Amy's arm and held it behind her back until she screamed.
What were you saying about the time market? Vanessa repeated.
The doctor stared at Vanessa.
If I tell you what I know, he said, will you let me pay the time Amy owes you?
Vanessa pressed a button on Amy's watch.
She owes me 21 years. That's a lot. But you can pay it for her if you want to.
The Mr. Blenkinsop made Amy walk to the doctor and hold up her watch arm.
Press this button here to pay it for her, Vanessa said. Be careful, doctor. 21 years at the same time hurts, you know.
The doctor looked at Vanessa and pressed the button. Amy's watch fell to the floor and the glass face broke into 100 pieces. The doctor did not look or feel any older.
I don't understand. You didn't get older.
For the first time, Vanessa did not know what to say. The doctor said nothing. All the Mr. Symingtons and Mr. Blenkinsops were staring at him with excitement.
You can't be, Vanessa whispered. I thought all the Time Lords were gone.
The Mr. Symingtons and Mr. Blenkinsops were suddenly standing in front of all the library's exits.
Doctor, what's going on? Asked Amy.
The doctor smiled at Amy.
I think our friend the Time Harvester here has just thought of a way to achieve a lot of success on the time market.
Then he said to Vanessa, Will you let Andrew go if I wear one of your watches?
You would wear a watch? I don't understand, said Vanessa.
Andrew owes you more than 55,000 years. So why don't you put a watch on me and take his time from me instead? And then we'll talk about the future of the Earth.
I...
Vanessa opened and closed her mouth, and then she stopped talking. A Mr. Symington took a watch from his pocket and put it around the doctor's wrist. Andrew's watch fell to the floor.
You're both free now, said the doctor. You don't owe any time, and you can't borrow any more time, Amy and Andrew. Samira, I'm sure you don't want to use your watch again, and...
The doctor nodded his head at the huge glass sculpture and spoke so quietly that only Amy could hear him.
And I think that sculpture is what Samira calls a liquidity fund. It's time to break it.
A Mr. Symington and a Mr. Blenkinsop put a cold hand on each of the doctor's shoulders.
You must come with us now, Doctor, said Vanessa. I know some people at the time market who'll be very excited to see you.
It was terrible to watch Vanessa and her army of Mr. Symingtons and Mr. Blenkinsops lead the doctor across the atrium. At the door, a Mr. Blenkinsop took several things from the doctor's pockets and put them on the floor. Then Vanessa turned a dial on the doctor's watch and they all disappeared. The whole bank was empty now, because everyone had run away from the fighting. There were only a few Mr. Symingtons and Mr. Blenkinsops, and they did not stop Amy, Samira, and Andrew from sitting in the atrium next to the glass sculpture.
So, the doctor wants us to break some advanced alien technology, said Andrew.
Amy noticed that Andrew's hand was on 65-year-old Samira's shoulder.
The doctor said that the sculpture is a liquidity fund, Amy said, but I don't know what that is.
Andrew and Samira looked at each other.
I'll explain, said Samira. Most people are still wearing the watches and walking around like nothing strange is happening. They owe time, but they haven't paid it back yet. Vanessa will have that time later because people owe it to her. But she doesn't have it yet, so she can't use it now.
Okay, said Amy. So how can the Mr. Symingtons and Mr. Blenkinsops move in time when not enough people have paid the time they owe Vanessa?
She must have some in storage somewhere that she can use when she needs to travel in time, said Andrew.
We call that kind of storage a liquidity fund.
So if we broke the liquidity fund, said Amy, people would still owe Vanessa their time if they have borrowed from her.
But it would be harder for Vanessa and her sharks to move backwards and forwards in time, continued Samira.
If the doctor thinks that sculpture is the liquidity fund where Vanessa is keeping her time, Amy said, then let's break it.